Morning Church. I hope that you guys have all had an incredible week, and I look forward to opening the Word with you guys today and seeing what God has for us. And it's a joy to be here with you guys and a blessing to be able to share with you what I believe that God has placed in my heart. I find it really cool how God works quite often. Andrew, some of the stuff you're sharing in worship is exactly what I want to share at the beginning of my sermon today. And so, you know what? God's speaking to us today, and that's exciting. And so I have a question for you all before we jump into things. How hungry are you today? How thirsty are you today? Now, I'm not actually curious about whether or not you had breakfast or how many glasses of water you've had before you came here today. What I'm curious about is when it comes to these questions, is how would you answer them in regards to your relationship with God and to the Holy Spirit that is alive and working in you? When you woke up to come to church this morning, what was the attitude of your heart? Were you thinking to yourself, all right, I just have to get through church today, tick that off my to-do list, and then I can go relax, or then I can go spend some time with my friends and my family, or then I can, you know, I'm really keen for the talent show tonight, I can come back and see that. Subtle plug. Maybe you were dragged here by other family members, or a sense of obligation, or even just because it's what you do on a Sunday, it's part of your routine. How many of us woke up this morning and rejoiced that today we get to gather together as children of God and dwell in the presence of our Heavenly Father and be fed on His Word? How many of us woke up with a hunger and a thirst to know God and meet with Him today as we gathered for church, to delight in His presence and to rejoice in who He is? With a desire to hear His Word and be fed on His truth and be filled with His Holy Spirit presence. Now, my intention in asking you guys this is not to make you feel guilty, but simply to remind all of us, and myself included, of the importance of having the right heart attitude when we come to worship our Heavenly Father. Because what God has for us, what He is offering us each day, is so much more than we could ever hope for or imagine. And I don't just mean on a Sunday at church, but for every single day that we have on this earth. It should excite us. It should drive us to be in the presence of God, to dwell in His presence and to delight in Him and live for Him and with Him all the days of our lives. To hunger for His truth and to never be satisfied with where we are at, as we always long for more of Him. So my question once again to all of you guys is, how hungry are you today? How thirsty are you to be filled with the presence of God today, to know Him and to seek His face? As you come to church today, have you recognized that God is here with us and that He wants to fill us? In our main passage today, Jesus speaks to a woman, someone who is understood to be an outcast, and He says to her, if only you knew what God is offering you, then you would want nothing else besides that. If only we knew how transformed we would be, how set free we would be, how completely devoted to God would we be, if only we knew. If only we fully grasped and understood just what God has for us, then there would be nothing else that we would ever desire more than Him. Him alone and nothing else. Now, this part of the passage is not the main part for my message today, but as we prepare to read God's Word, I want us to be aware of God's presence that is with us today. And it is my prayer that we would hunger and thirst for what He has to offer us. These past 2 weeks have been pretty hard for me. And I share this because there have been a number of circumstances and situations that I've found myself in over the past 2 weeks. In my heart, I have been crying out to God for my family, for my friends, for strangers that have been part of some of these circumstances. My prayer has been, God, if only they knew the great love that You have for them, if only they knew the sacrifice that Your Son Jesus went through for them. If only they knew that you would wipe every tear, you would heal every broken heart, you would restore every hurting person when we choose to come to you. If only they knew. And I'm reminded that it's not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. And we have all fallen short of the glory of God, and daily we battle with sin. We are all in need of a Saviour, the great physician and healer. In last week's sermon, Scott looked at the story of Nicodemus in chapter 3 of John. And he spoke about how we are all invited to step into this new life that God has for us when we are born again. And that with this new life in Christ, we have been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, which dwells within all who believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. And there was a sentence that Scott said that which really stood out to me, and I wanted to share it again this morning. He said, "When we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer defined by our flesh, our past, our failures, or our sin." Amen to that. When we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer defined by our flesh. When we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer defined by our past. When we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer defined by our failures. When we are born of the Spirit, we are no longer defined by our sin. When we are born of the Spirit, we have streams of living water that fill us up and pour out from us. And this living water washes us clean and it gives us new life. And I believe that's what God wants us to know from this passage today. We are given this living water, and if only we knew all that God wanted for us and has for us, regardless of who we were and regardless of who we are. Today, he offers us restoration. Today, he invites us, just as he does every single day, to walk in the understanding and the truth of who he is, to be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit and to delight in his presence with his, which is with us always. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you now and we recognize that your presence is here with us today. Lord, may we have ears to hear and eyes to see. May our hearts be open, Lord, so that we may know your face today, that we may seek your presence, Lord God. Come and dwell within us and speak to us, Holy Spirit. Guide us in our time together, Lord, and may you use me as a vessel according to your will. In your name I pray. Now, our passage today is a little bit of a longer one. And so as we go through it, I'm going to be pausing and I'm going to be exploring different parts of this passage to help us get a fuller picture of what it is that we are reading. So we're going to jump straight in. Today we're going to be looking at John chapter 4, and we're going to be reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 42. So we start at verse 1, and it says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called," I'm going to say Sychar, I don't know, "near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph." Isn't it cool we're all human? All right. "Jesus heard that the Pharisees had found out about his growing following and that his disciples had been baptizing these people. And so to avoid any conflict and problems with the Pharisees at this time, he chose to leave Judea for a time and head to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria." This is an interesting statement. It says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, not that he felt like it might be a good idea or that he simply wanted to, but that he had to. What makes this more interesting is the understanding of the conflict between the Jews and the Samaritans at this time. As many of you are probably aware, the Jews, well, they did not like the Samaritans. And this was due to an ongoing conflict that they had, a very long history that they had, resulting in the Jews believing that the Samaritans were impure and heretical in their worship and beliefs. In fact, they disliked them so much that they would often travel a very long way in order to avoid traveling through Samaria when going between Judea and Galilee. As you can see on the map, Samaria is in between Galilee and Judea. Now, the fastest way to get to Galilee would have been to do what Jesus and his disciples did at this time, and that would have been to go straight through Samaria. However, like I mentioned, that was not the normal way to do things. Instead, the Jews would often choose to travel past the Jordan River and through Perea, which was much longer. Yet Jesus knew that he needed to be in Samaria. Let's keep reading. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. We may not realize this when we first read this passage, but Jesus and this woman are breaking all sorts of social rules and understandings through this encounter. And I think that there are some important things to highlight. So first of all, it was about noon. It was about midday at the time that this was occurring. Secondly, a Samaritan woman had come to the well that Jesus is resting at so that she could draw some water. Now, it's quite unusual for a woman to be drawing water at this time of day, but it's also unusual for a woman to be alone drawing water. The women during this time would often go together to the well either early in the morning or later in the evening when it was the cooler parts of the day. We're going to look a little bit more at this woman exactly and who she is a bit later on, but for now I just want us to get an understanding that this meeting between Jesus and this woman was unusual, and therefore it can only be understood as what I would describe as an appointment set up by God, because there was something important that he had for this woman. Now, Jesus himself was defying rules that the Jewish religious leaders had set up in that time. It wasn't a law, but it was something that they tried to press for the people to follow. And that was that men did not talk to women in public because this was believed to be a transgression. And yet here Jesus is not only speaking to a woman, but actually initiating the conversation. And not just initiating a conversation with a woman, but choosing to do so with a Samaritan woman of all people. A woman who was also likely to be considered an outcast in her own community. And again, we see the evidence of the conflict that is between the Jews and the Samaritans through the woman's shock and confusion over the fact that Jesus is even talking to her, let alone asking her for a drink of water from her bucket. Let's continue to read. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" This woman has been given an insight from Jesus about a deep and profound gift that God offers, and she doesn't fully grasp that just yet. For only she knew who was speaking to her and the gift that he had for her. And I just want to pause here for a moment and ask you all a question that came up for me as I was preparing for this message. And that question is, how often do we miss the gifts that God is offering us because we do not have the eyes to see or the ears to hear or the minds to understand what it is he's offering us? How many times have I missed what God has for me because I was too distracted by the things of this world, or I was too caught up in what I thought was more important and I lost sight of what's actually most important, which is God and all that he has for me and all that he calls me to? When are the times that God has revealed himself to me or spoken his truth to me and I've been blinded and I've been closed off or I've been indifferent or I've hardened my heart? And I just want to say a quick prayer with that. God, I am sorry for the times that I've done this. I repent and I ask that you may pour out your living water into my life so that I may not be blind or deaf or indifferent or hardened to the movements of your Holy Spirit, Father. Let's keep reading. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." What is this water that Jesus is talking about? This living water that leads to eternal life. This is the Holy Spirit, the living water that is poured out into our very beings when we choose to surrender our lives to God. We get a clearer picture of this in John 7, in verses 37 to 39, when Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. This living water sustains us. It refreshes us. It restores us. It washes us clean and it gives us eternal life with our Heavenly Father. And for us now, we've already got access to this living water because Jesus has already gone to the cross and he has already died and been resurrected. And through his sacrifice, we've received this gift. But at this time for this woman, this is a new understanding and revelation for her. So it makes sense that she still seems to be a little bit confused and she doesn't yet fully grasp what it is that Jesus is saying and offering to her. But as we continue to read, we see that Jesus does not let her lack of understanding stop him from continuing to invite her to receive what it is that he has come to offer her, which is to know and believe that he is the Messiah. And eventually she does come to understand, but I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, so let's keep reading. He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Now, there are many different understandings about who exactly this woman was. Was she an outcast, a prostitute, an adulterer? Someone simply misunderstood who wasn't actually living a life of outright sin. So many different understandings. And all we know from this passage is that she was collecting water alone in the middle of the day, which, as I mentioned, was unusual. And we know that she had five husbands, which is also something that in that time was considered unusual. She doesn't still have them, sorry. She had five husbands. And currently the man that she is with is not her husband. And we could dive deeper into understanding exactly what her social standing was. However, I think that if we get too caught up in trying to work out exactly who this woman was, we lose sight of the bigger picture of what Jesus is doing in this passage. So let's just say that this woman is just like all of you, and she's just like me. Someone who Jesus is providing a way so that they may come and know and receive his offering of eternal life and living water, regardless of how clean or messy, good or bad, sinful or pure hers or our lives look. And really, none of our lives are pure. For all of us have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. And yet what Jesus offers here is the gift of eternal life despite our shortcomings. Despite who this woman is, Jesus is offering her this living water. This information that Jesus shares about this woman and her living condition was something that would have been impossible for him to know in normal circumstances from just meeting this woman now at the well. And yet Jesus does know. And he uses this knowledge not to condemn her or to judge her, but to continue to invite her to receive this offering of living water, this gift of eternal life. And despite the fact that she seems to still not fully grasp or understand what he is saying, he doesn't allow that to be a hindrance on his invitation to her. And this question reveals part of this woman's heart, this question that she has for him. She wants to know what true worship is, the true way to worship God, This suggests that there is a hunger in her, a desire to worship God properly. Let's keep reading. "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, I am he." Jesus has just shared some deep and powerful truth with this woman. He has shared what is to come, and he shares the heart of the Father, which is that all who worship him will worship in spirit and in truth. And then Jesus reveals to her that he is the Messiah, the Christ. Now that is significant, because this is the very first time in Scripture, in my understanding, that Jesus is plainly stating to someone else that he is the Messiah. And he's not sharing this profound truth with a Jew. It's not a man, it's not a teacher of the law or a Pharisee. It's someone, it's not even someone highly regarded in society. It's to an outcasted Samaritan woman. Because Jesus is a savior for all people. And the important thing that I want to touch on here is that Jesus is not just a savior for the perfect people who have their lives together. He's a savior for the broken and for the messy, the hurting and the tired people. Those who try so hard but never feel like they get it just quite right. Those who have given up trying because it hurts too much. Those who couldn't care less and are comfortable as they are. Those that seek the things of this world more than they seek God. And those that struggle in their pursuit with God. All people, no matter what, no matter who. He doesn't need us to be perfect to come to him. He wants us as we are. And when we choose to say yes, he is the one that brings about the transformation in our lives. And as we'll read in just a little bit, he takes us as we are, and he is the one that equips us for his work. There's a song that I love called Honest Offering by Kane. And the opening lyric says, "Tried to clean it up nice, tried to hold it all together. I'm living rich in the world, but a spiritual beggar. And I have been waiting to give till I can give you something better, but you just wanted my heart." And the song goes on to say this one line that I really like, and it says, "You love every broken piece of an honest offering." God wants you as you are. Jesus offers us the truth that sets us free, the living water and eternal life. And all he says is that we must believe, not that we must be the perfect person before he will consider picking us, but that he wants to take us as we are. And when we are surrendered to him, he is the one that transforms us in his love. Let's keep reading. "Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But one asked, 'What do you want?' No one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking with her?' Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, 'Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?' They came out of the town and made their way towards him." Now the disciples have returned from getting food for Jesus, and they see him alone with this Samaritan woman, and they recognize that Jesus is breaking a couple of Jewish no-nos, and yet they stay silent. And this woman, we read that when she leaves and goes back to town and begins to share with the people, her people, about the conversation that she had just had with Jesus, she had heard what Jesus said and knows that this is the truth that needs to be shared with other people. In my understanding, as I've been reading this text over the past couple of weeks, that there must have been a change, a shift in this woman that was so clearly evident in her outward appearance and her speech for the townspeople to listen to her and to respond as they did. If she was an outcast, then she would have usually been disregarded and potentially ignored by the community, and they wouldn't have given her the time of day. And regardless, the fact that she was a woman would have placed her socially below the men of that time. And she may not have been taken seriously with what she was sharing. So for the people of this community to follow after her as she shares suggests that there had been some change in her through her conversation with Jesus, an internal change that is so powerful that it's showing externally. And that resulted in these people to wanting to see and understand what has happened for her. Let's continue reading. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests the crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus, the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Here, Jesus shares with his disciples that what satisfies the soul more than food can satisfy the body is to do the work of God. He speaks about how there are so many lost souls that need to know the truth of God and are ready to give their lives to him. And this is the hunger of Jesus' soul, that these people and many more may hear the truth and that the truth will set them free. And then we go on to read, many of the Samaritans from the town that believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. This woman has shared her testimony of what Jesus had spoken into her life with the people of her town. And as a result, many more others came to believe in him. And these people came to Jesus already believing in what the woman had shared. And they asked Jesus to stay with them so that they may be able to hear more from the Messiah and to know more of this living water that he spoke about. I doubt it was the plans of the disciples to stay in Samaria for 2 days, and yet Jesus chose to stay. And we read that as a result, he got to teach, and many more of them became believers, all because of one person's faith, one outcast, one Samaritan, one woman. Let's read the final part of our passage. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the savior of the world." This woman's experience was a testimony of who Jesus is, and through her sharing, these people were able to come and meet with Jesus themselves and experience firsthand the truth of Jesus. The role of sharing Jesus with others is to use our testimony as an example of the goodness and grace of Jesus, and then invite others to come and experience God's goodness for themselves. Our lives are to be a testimony of the goodness of God, which draws others in so that they can then experience the goodness of God in their own lives. And this is the heart of the Father. So what do we learn from this passage? It's a long passage, but it's a powerful one, and it is so rich with so much insight into the heart of the Father and the purpose of Jesus' life and what he has accomplished for us. It is an example of transformation and redemption and the call from Jesus to share the good news to those around us. One woman's faith, that's all it took for a whole lot of people in her town to come and believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. There are three words that have continued to come up in my mind in preparation for today. And these three words are mercy, humility, transformation. In this passage, we see the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ. Here he is, exhausted and weary, tired from his travels, and yet he knows that he is needed in Samaria to do the work that the Father has sent him to do. And as he sits and as he shares with this woman, he continues to provide opportunity for her to receive the understanding of who he is and to believe and be transformed. By all social understanding, Jesus had every right to ignore her as a woman, to ridicule her as a Samaritan, to shame her as an outcast, and yet he shows mercy. And he reveals his compassion for all people through his conversation with her. He doesn't care about her social standing. He doesn't care that she's a Samaritan. He sees that she is hungry to understand, and he intends to break through and give her life and light in the very core of her being. The mercy of Jesus is powerful. It transforms us and it restores us back to God. And this passage is a testimony to the goodness and grace of our Heavenly Father. Even though we are sinful humans, even though we can tend to often live lives that separate us from God, even though, like this woman, we don't always fully understand straight away the truths of God, he offers us living water so that we may be washed clean and our sins forgiven, and we can continue to press in him and seek him. And then we have humility. What a humbling experience it would have been for this Samaritan woman. All her expectations of how Jesus should have treated her would have been shaken. And as she recognizes the authority that he has, she comes to him with her questions so that she may know the truth. And as Jesus reveals the truth of her own life, she responds in humility and openness to what he is offering her. And lastly, transformation. There is transformation that occurs in this woman as a result of her conversation with Jesus. She comes away from the conversation believing the truth that Jesus is the Messiah. And she goes to tell the people of her town about this incredible news. Because of her transformation, she has become an unlikely evangelist to these other Samaritan people. And as a result, many come to know and believe in Jesus Christ, the Messiah. There is transformation in her and transformation in many others as a result. Our theme this year is In His Footsteps. We are to learn from Jesus how to live as disciples that follow in his footsteps. We are to live out what we learn in our everyday life. And we are to lead others to also understand the truth of the gospel and to walk in his footsteps as well. The Samaritan woman was an unlikely evangelist, not someone that would have been expected in that time to understand or to share the truth of who Jesus was. And yet God led Jesus to this town so that Jesus could reveal who he is to this woman. And as a result, she became an important role in many lives coming to know Jesus as Messiah. We are all called to be like this Samaritan woman, hungry for the truth that Jesus Christ has to offer us. Open to be used by God and transformed so that we may be a testimony to others of who Jesus is, and willing for Jesus to speak into the easy and the difficult parts of our lives as he pours out his love and mercy upon us and calls us to far greater things than we could ever imagine. Jesus says to this woman, if only you knew what I have to offer you. We know that accepting Christ into our lives We have this living water that dwells in us and washes us clean. We know that we have the Holy Spirit that leads us and points us towards Jesus so that we may be filled to overflowing and used for the work of the kingdom here on earth. And I pray as we continue to learn more about what it means to be in his footsteps, that we may know and understand all that Jesus has to offer us, and that we may hunger and thirst for his truth and the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that that hunger may never be satisfied, but only continue to grow as we press into him. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you in humility, recognizing that you are holy, holy, holy are you, God, Lord Almighty. And Lord, that you transform us for the work of your kingdom here on earth. Father God, may you come and just speak to us all this morning. And we just ask, Lord, that we may live in the knowledge and the understanding that your Holy Spirit is in us and with us. Lord, that you are transforming us and calling us to a bigger and better life than we could ever imagine, and that you desire for us to know and to understand who it is that you are, Lord. May our hearts long for you. May our desire be for you and for you alone, Lord God. And may we never be satisfied in our search and our understanding and our growth of you, Lord. Draw us close, Father God. In your name we pray. Amen.